Hi, I'm Natalie.
And hi, I'm Benji.
And we are a counsellor, trauma therapist and a fitness instructor. We know that mental health and physical health go hand in hand, and this podcast is to help bring them two themes together, and maybe you might help to develop some new strategies.
Yeah, we're going to have plenty of discussions, and you're going to get to hear from the perspective of a fitness instructor and a therapist, which should be good. And hopefully, just by listening to this podcast, you might have a better day today.
And this episode is about the impact of social media on our mental health.
That's going to be a really interesting topic, isn't it? I guess social media is so vast now, and it's become such a significant part of our lives that, you know, almost in the way that historically we maybe went to the front door in the morning to collect the milk and a newspaper maybe, and you know, you spent a portion of your morning reading the headlines whilst you had your breakfast. It's almost like social media now has become almost like the replacement of those things, right? And how many people kind of wake up in the morning and the first thing that they do is check their mobile phone or check a device and scroll through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you know? It seems to be like the thing that we do now, doesn't it?
It's like an automatic reaction, isn't it? And it affects, it's not just, you know, before we would have thought it would have been the young people that would have been checking their social media and stuff like that, yeah. But it's all generations now.
Yeah, definitely.
Even from toddlers, like, they know how to work phones and devices much better than us. So it's we're being met with it, as you say, as soon as we open our eyes in the morning until we go to bed at night. It's there. It's in every aspect of life now.
Yeah. And there's a really interesting documentary actually out right now on Netflix, which is called The Social Dilemma. And it's all about kind of exposing maybe the ugly side of social media. And what's really interesting about it is it gets the perspective of many of the brains and individuals behind apps like Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, certainly in their early days. Mm-hmm. And what's quite profound about the documentary is that many of these professionals talk about their own personal lives, how they've struggled with addiction to the apps that they've built, and talking about the fact that they don't have these apps now in their own lives, even if they work for those companies. The fact that they hide devices or that they prevent their own children from using some of the devices and apps that they built because of their perceived danger of those things and knowing the impact of them on an individual's mental health. So that's definitely something that seems to be quite relevant now. And it's really interesting that those professionals behind the creation of those apps are actually prepared to speak up against them, because I guess it highlights the potential danger and impact that social media can have on our mental health, right?
Yeah. And the first thing that I think about when you say all of that and how they've, you know, how even thinking about the newspaper in the morning and stuff like that, if you were reading bad news, you could put the newspaper to one side then. Or if you're watching the news bulletin in the evenings, you could switch the TV off and, you know, go to bed and relax. But now it's in every room. It's on, you know, even in our children's and our young people's devices as they go to bed, they can't switch off from this. And even, you know, I suppose we're encouraged to use that in some aspect. And it's not, I suppose there is pros and cons to that. But definitely, I think, you know, the more open we are to using all these social media networking sites, the more we are opening ourselves up to potential dangers and potential risks and sharing, maybe oversharing as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the elements in the documentary and that's quite relevant, and I've had conversations with friends about this also, is that advertisement plays a massive part in social media. And one of the things that was really well highlighted in the documentary was that there isn't really another industry where the person and their thoughts, their views, and their movements are seen as the product. And what was categorized as the product in the whole web of social media is actually us. Because every time we press like every time we share something, every time we repost something or engage with a post on Facebook, Instagram, you know, Twitter, maybe even Pinterest, we're almost creating a profile. And it's a personal profile that gives power to the social media companies to be able to really target and get us to specifically engage with those apps and the advertisements and advertising companies that ultimately pay for those apps to exist and become big business. There was a real dishonest element of that, but there was really sort of a part of that documentary that really spoke about business and how social media, which most of us come to for, you know, what it says on the tin, to be more sociable, right? To connect with families, to connect with friends. And actually, we are there as products within a marketplace for advertising companies.
Yeah. I think that even if you know, as soon as I scroll onto Instagram myself, for example, I'm being hit with that continuous feed of recommended for you, or TikTok even for you. And it is difficult not to get sucked into that.
It is.
especially, you know, if you are feeling a bit more vulnerable, I think that you could be easily swayed by, you know, the advertising companies and these bloggers and, you know, and the famous people. They can really affect how you think and how you feel, especially if you're, you know, if you're not very self-assured and you are feeling a bit more vulnerable.
Yeah, it's almost, for me, it kind of feels like a little bit of a throwback, and actually quite a basic concept. If you think about fortune cookies, and I'm assuming that you call them the same thing.
Yes, I do. Right? Yeah.
But if you think of fortune cookies, is that traditionally you might get in, you know, with your Chinese takeaway, for example, you know, you'd crack open a fortune cookie, and there'd be a message in there that was probably put in there about 10 years ago when the fortune cookies were fresh. But, you know, when you crack it open, there's almost like this layer of intimacy and this layer of vulnerability that just you're overcome with when you read this message, because the message is, you know, almost personally for you. It's your fortune cookie. It's the one that you happen to have stumbled upon and the one that you happen to have opened.
Yeah.
And there's so many moments, and I can confess to this myself, where you read the message and you almost believe like there's been some type of divine intervention. Mm-hmm. And that message was specifically guided to you, for you to read. Now, that's all well and good if you open it and the message says you're going to win £1 million in your favorite car and your dream house and all of these things. Now, it would be quite cool to believe that that was specifically sent to you. But what if the message that you picked up was something less positive, you know, or a suggestion that something negative was going to happen to you? All of a sudden, those feelings and emotions that this message was spent, you know, was sent specifically to you, that doesn't feel so good and can shape the way in which we behave. And I guess social media almost seems like that sometimes. You know, if you open your feed and there is something that somebody's written or an advertisement that was projected to you based on the profile that you've created, you can almost feel like that message was specifically speaking to you. And that can color and shape your mental health, particularly if it's the first thing that you do in the morning. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. You know, as human beings, we are mammals, and as mammals, we are more secure if we're in a group. So we're always longing for that sense of connection, and we live in especially in current times, we live in isolation. We live a fast, busy life, and I think social media, it's supposed to give us that connection. And You know, and if you're opening that in the morning, you know, and you're taking that information in, whether it's good, that's great. It's going to help you. And of course, that could set you up for the day. But as you said, if it's negative, that will also have an effect on you and how you think and feel. And in psychology, one of the humanistic founders of human psychology was Carl Rogers. And he coined this term, locus of evaluation. And he talks about external locus of evaluation, and that basically means when judgments of other people, whether it be on social media, whether it be in your friend group, family group, and other people's thoughts and opinions, then kind of you take them on board and they affect how you think and feel, and then they predict how you're going to think and how your behaviors are going to be, so how you'll react. And when I'm working with my clients on a one-to-one level, I would get them just to think, are they going off their external locus of evaluation? Are they, you know, aware that they're taking this information in, and then because they've read something bad that affects their thoughts, and then because their thoughts aren't, you know, probably not productive or not helpful, more negative, that then that affects their feelings. And then again, the whole CBT thing, your thoughts affect your feelings, and then your feelings affect your environment. And it's like a chain reaction. So if they've opened that, you know, message or advertisement, or they've looked at a picture and compared themselves to that, you know, then that is going to affect how you function on that day, because you're focused on the external. I would get clients to be, you know, in the counseling room, I'd be getting to turn it on to the internal. And basically whenever they're turning on to the internal, I'd be getting them to work on building their self-esteem, building, you know, what their values are, what their judgments are, having a really good sense of themselves. Because if you don't, and you're continuously opening these apps, or, you know, reading messages or advertisements, that's going to become really, really difficult to manage over a period of time, if that's snowballing, it's all negative. So it's about just monitoring your own content of how often, you know, you are lifting your phone in the morning, open your eyes and straight on to Instagram or whatever it might be. And for me, I get to give myself a few moments in the morning where I'll lift the phone, turn the alarm off, put it back down, and just ground myself in the here and now. And maybe even practice some gratitude. So rather than lifting the phone and looking at negative stuff or looking at stuff that's going to influence me, I would just take some time just to ground myself and think what I'm grateful for. And it kind of switches my thinking patterns automatically before I even got out of bed, rather than being influenced by social media apps.
Yeah, I think it's almost like a protection, isn't it? Mm. And I often have conversations with even like my father, for example, and he would always say, sort of, you need to guard your heart and your mind. Mm. And the analogy that I was always sort of use is your home, for example. You know, when you left your home this morning, you locked the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
Behind you. And we lock the door because we believe the contents of our home to be valuable.
Yeah. Right?
We regard it as a sacred place that mm-hmm. we want to return to in the state that we left it in.
Yeah.
And also we want to feel like everything that we are leaving behind won't be disturbed and will be just as secure as it was beforehand. Now, we don't place the same sort of camera system, surveillance system, alarm system, or front door lock on our minds.
Yeah.
Because if we were to invite all of the advertising companies, the influencers, even the people that we have as friends on social media into our homes, I'm sure we'd feel quite uncomfortable.
It'd be a very crowded place.
Yeah, it would be an incredibly crowded place, and quite an uncomfortable and quite an awkward place to live in. Yeah. You know, we would be, if you could just imagine for a second, letting, you know, the average person maybe has, you know, 50 to 100 friends on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, for example. And if you were to let all of those people into your house, even over the course of a day, that would be pretty exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we don't see it the same way when we open an app and scroll through and look at hundreds, you know, tens of thousands of people's different content, opinions, and advertisements.
Yeah.
But because it's in the palm of our hand, we almost see it differently. Yeah. Now, I, you know, firmly believe that it's just the same. And the impact is just the same. In fact, it may even be more profound because, you know, if you're in a room with a bunch of people, you can be distracted and you can switch off and you can move room. But when you're sat with your mobile phone directly in your hand, your focus is 100% on that thing that you're reading, that post that you're scrolling past, or that advertisement that's come up and popped up on your mobile phone. So it almost takes your focus. And one of the things in the documentary that was interesting was talking about the use of notifications. So the fact that it takes the power away from you to almost make a decision as to when you pick up your mobile phone and you engage with these apps, because we're told, hey, you've got a notification, something is going on your social media right now, come and check me.
Yeah.
And I think that can be really dangerous too, right? What would you give as a couple of tips to people that may struggle with their use of social media or struggle with their mental health that also have social media and maybe don't recognize some of the dangers or potential impact that it could be having on their mental health? How would you help people safeguard themselves against that negative impact of social media on their mental health?
Yeah. I think the first thing for me would be recognizing it, awareness of it, because it's automatic for us. Like, even we're handing tablets now to young babies to watch YouTube even. So it's automatic, you know, it's within us. So it's having a conscious effort to just check in with yourself and see, where am I at with this? You know, even monitoring. I know for myself, I was able to put a timer on Instagram. How long have I actually been on Instagram today? And once it gets past the 2 hours, I get like a wee alarm up then. And that's mine. Yeah. Okay, you've been scrolling too much today, Natalie. And for me then, it's about having that balance. And that whenever you have that balance then, it takes effort, because this is automatically within us. Just didn't lift the phone, as you say, it's in the palm of our hand, and start, we're given these messages as notifications. So for me, it's about having a conscious effort of saying, okay, from whatever day of the week it is, I'm going to, from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, I'm not going to have the phone in my hand. Literally scheduling it into your day that you're going to have some downtime so that you can just switch off and be in the moment rather than just been attached to this and drip-fed information. So awareness and balance then, and connect with the people that's actually around you in person. You know, connect with your family, connect with the people who you live with, and try and have a face-to-face conversation, because again, all that will be, if you're talking to somebody face-to-face, you're less likely then to want to scroll on your phone. So that would be awareness, balance, and connection.
And even, you know, in these times, we can do that with things like Zoom, for example, by, you know, or FaceTime, by, you know, really connecting with a family member, even if we can't physically be with them. Mm-hmm. But someone that knows you, someone that you have a level of intimacy with, that you can, you know, really share meaningful conversation and time with. I think that's really important in these times at the moment, right? I know a lot of people struggle with sleeping. I think for a lot of people that do struggle to sleep at night, I think Instagram and Facebook is that thing that's, it's always there.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's a 24-hour shop, isn't it? You know, I can think of moments where, you know, it's been late at night and I've thought, oh gosh, if only I could do this shopping right now, that would be fantastic. Or if only I could get this right now. And actually Instagram and Facebook and social media in general, they're 24 hours.
Yeah.
Particularly if you have influencers, advertisements from overseas, that it's just around the clock. And so I think a lot of people have built bad habits around not being able to sleep and then using social media.
Yeah.
You know, during that time, which then things like the blue light, for example, and just the general, you know, just the general things that Facebook and Instagram does to keep your attention, it will make it even more difficult for you to get to sleep, for example, if you're using those things. So one of the things that I found really useful is I've kind of set a rule that once I've gone to bed, I don't actually pick the mobile phone up or open the mobile phone up to check any apps. So even if I was having a night where I just really couldn't sleep, you know, we had some relatively warm weather just recently, didn't we? And you know, it was really hot at night, and you're getting sweaty and throwing the covers off. But I just wouldn't pick up the mobile phone, and certainly wouldn't view any social media until the following day. That's like an absolute rule in my house. And another thing that I think can be quite useful is to try and not recharge your device. Of course, if you're going out, you know, you're leaving the home, you've got children or just a partner, that, you know, it's important for you to be in radio contact with those people at all times. But where possible, try and not recharge your device. So set yourself a timetable whereby you become quite disciplined at when you charge your device and where you charge your device. I think most of us charge our devices in the home, probably next to our bed. You know, I know lots of people that charge their mobile phone and put it underneath their pillow. You know, it's almost like this comfort thing. But, you know, working towards a situation where you charge your mobile phone away from your bed, almost even if it's at the bottom of your bed, so that when you do wake up in that kind of half sleepy state, you would have to physically leave your bed to go and get your mobile phone, which in that in itself will remind you, actually, this is something that I don't want to be doing. Or shouldn't be doing. And also then to make sure that your phone is being charged between a set, you know, period of time. And when that battery runs out, you don't recharge it. That's the time to leave your mobile phone alone. And I think that can help to build a little program for yourself that helps you either limit the time by, you know, literally the device not working anymore, or that makes you almost ration the time that you spend on the device. And I think both of those approaches are really useful, because if you know your phone battery won't last for 15 hours if you're scrolling on Instagram for an hour at a time, you might begin to just change those habits and just limit that time and really focus. And I guess the final thing is just watch your influences. I think it comes back to what we spoke about earlier in the show, where we talked about, you know, locking the home and putting your security cameras on and your alarm. And it's really having close surveillance on the influences that you're allowing into your mind. You know, looking at your Instagram and your Facebook as your home, and making sure that you absolutely eradicate any of the people or influences that you wouldn't allow into your house.
100%.
Because really, they are literally in your pocket. They walk around with you daily. And if you wouldn't let them in your home, don't let them in your pocket either. So making sure that you spend some time to just really, you know, refine the influences that you're following, that you're engaging with on social media, by just deleting accounts, removing accounts from yours, and just really honing in on what influences you would want in your home,
whether it be on social media or just in day-to-day life. Just take the time to care for yourself.
100%. Well, I guess we've kind of really started to dig deep into the impact of social media and other things that are very similar to social media on our mental health in this episode. And if anything that you've heard is of relevance, or you've struggled with some of the things that we've spoken about, or even if you have some success stories and really good and useful tips for how you combat this issue, we would love to hear from you. We look forward to you listening to this episode, and look forward to speaking to you again on the next episode. So whatever you're doing, whether it's the morning, whether it's the evening, I hope that this contributes to you having a better day, and we'll look forward to seeing you all soon. Take care, guys.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.